This is CILU 102.7 FM, LURadio.ca, CFRC 101.9 FM, CFRC.ca, and CJLO 1690 AM, CJLO.com. I'm Ari, the show is Past Tense, and the last song they played was Suture from the band Golden Star off of their self-titled EP, and before that, a recent demo from the band Golden Star that was apparently influenced by the band Picastro, which is one that I really love. They released a couple of terrific albums. Well, terrific to me. They have other albums as well. But specifically, Red Your Blues and Metal Cares. Yeah, so they're more of a, I think, mid-90s, early 2000s Canadian post-rock slowcore band. And Golden Star is a very recent one. So that, in part, is why I was very excited to sit down with Marcus Stahl of the band Golden Star. We did an interview, I guess, probably about a month ago now. And part one of that interview aired on this show last week, and hopefully the full version of that should be up on the CJLO website sometime this week. And you're going to hear part two of it right now, this hour, anyway. So it was a nice opportunity to sit down and hear about, a whole lot of things. It ended up running like an hour. But, you know, various influences on the music and, you know, the process that went into it, which was actually a very long time leading up to the EP, which is interesting to hear just because it kind of came out of nowhere for me. It was even more dramatic because it was a really terrific release. I was really impressed when I heard the Golden Star self-titled EP back in January. So, yeah, pretty excited now to have seen Golden Star play a couple of times. They're a local Montreal band, and to know that they've got more music in the works. So this song is called VS. It's by the band Golden Star off their EP. And after it plays, you will hear Marcus actually say some stuff about how it was written and the process behind that.
It's kind of funny, like the second song on the EP is called VS, which is actually short for Very Silly, because I was like in the studio, in my rehearsal space, I was working on some song that I thought was really good. So I was like, and it was like dark and serious, and I was really trying to make some things work. It just wasn't working. I don't even remember what song it was. I'm not sure if I ever finished it, but I was very frustrated with it. after like 2.5 hours of just kind of like trying stuff and it not exactly working. And then I was like, well, this whole session's been a bit of a bust. I might as well just like do something like different and just not so oriented towards creating a specific thing. And anyway, I kind of was just like, okay, I'm gonna like just mess around and record something and see if I can like get something down quickly. And I kind of came up with all those elements really, really quickly in like half an hour or something, just like one after the other, like only one or two takes for each thing. And I thought it was interesting, and it kind of reminded me of like Built to Spill a bit or something like that. But it's definitely tonally a bit different from the rest of the stuff on the EP. And like initially I was just like, I kind of just chalked it up to like this is kind of a fun little thing, it's kind of stupid. So I named the file very silly, and then I showed Meg, who writes a lot of the lyrics and is, you know, collaborator on the project, my girlfriend Meg. And I was driving with her and I put on the demo and I was like, oh, this is like some stupid little thing that I recorded. And she was like, oh no, this is like really awesome. And I guess that perspective was helpful, and eventually we like finished the song and it ended up on the EP. So sometimes it's useful to just go into it without much of a structure or anything.
Yeah, I think this goes back to what you were saying before too about not wanting to have like too narrow of a landscape. And like if you get caught in that type of a constraint where it's like, I feel like the main thing that ends up being important for like artistic creation, I guess, is like poignance, where it's not so much about like trying to, maybe not at the start necessarily trying to attack like a particular feeling, but rather just like approaching whatever ends up being poignant in the moment. Or
yeah, oh, for sure. I mean, there's definitely sort of ideals that I try to go by in my music that are not exact, like that are sort of cross different emotional areas or whatever. Like I try to really have a sense of, this is something I kind of noticed when I was a teenager. I was like, the best music feels really inevitable.
Okay.
So I really try to write music where it's like, wow, it sounded like that had to happen. Like this wasn't a choice necessarily. Mm-hmm. And I even kind of approach songwriting like that a lot of the time, where I come up, well, a lot of the time the first element is like a guitar riff or a certain chord voicing or something, and usually I'm just sitting around and sometimes even like watching something and just messing around, and I come up with this first element, and then I really just try to not put my ego or expectations onto like, I need to write this kind of song or that kind of song, and just respond to what is there. Mm-hmm. So like, you've got this first element, like how can I incorporate that into like a song structure? Like where does it go after that? And really just answer what the music wants to be there almost. It's I'm not actually mystical about the process like that, but it's useful to think about it like that. Because I think that's kind of the most, like at the heart of it, that's the most effective way of going about it. Mm-hmm.
I think someone I spoke to last night, I guess you could call the stuff he does like curatorial, or like dealing with, okay, I shouldn't even say because I don't know well enough, but like he looks at a lot of art, and like I think for like residencies for new artists and that sort of thing, one of the things he described in seeing like how people develop as artists, and he mostly deals with like visual art, I think, was moving from a framing that is
being an artist that focuses on a particular subject to one that eventually develops into an artist with a unique perspective, where it's not so much focused on trying to, you know, describe, let's say, one thing, but rather being able to approach many things with, like, some sort of identity.
Sure.
But, yeah, I feel like that's part of this whole process of trying to do things that are inevitable, in a sense, or approach things in, like, a almost naturalistic way. Now I'm curious about how the music has changed over time, because how long has all of the material that, say, made it onto the EP, how long has it been in the works, and, like, how has that sort of process changed? Because it's you, but there are also the other band members in there.
Yeah, I can talk about that for sure. So, basically, I started writing guitar music when I was in high school. My dad bought me a guitar from a pawn shop, and I sort of started learning to play, like, Hey Jude and stuff like that. Yeah. And so I was writing some rudimentary songs that I still remember some of them. They're not that great, but you have to write a lot of bad songs before you write good songs. And so I had this sort of, like, I was writing kind of singer-songwriter guitar stuff. I guess I was really influenced by the Velvet Underground at that point. But what I was writing was not really sounding like that, because, you know, there's this gap of, like, what you can actually do and what you want to do. So that was when I was a teenager, and then I came to Montreal, and I was, like, very swept up in this, like, underground electronic music, like house and techno and jungle, IDM, ambient world, because that's kind of where, you know, people are doing really interesting stuff, really beautiful, but also brutal and, like, physically, like, just, there was so much actual stuff happening, and you go to these raves or events and lose your mind a little bit.
Yeah.
So I was kind of doing that for quite a while, and working on my computer a lot and working with synths, and I guess I got, well, that the scene sort of became less interesting to me, and maybe I got a bit burnt out of it, and as I talked about, like, venues closed, and I guess I was a bit tired of it all. And then around 2020 or so would be, like, the earliest, like, Torn a Twain and Asleep. I think the pretty much the main structures of those songs were written 5 years ago.
Okay.
And I was just, at that point, me and Chris Stewart was playing drums, and Nick on bass, Nick Castonguay, and Zach MacArthur on guitar. And we were just kind of like, I guess it wasn't really that serious, like, we were kind of just going into the space and jamming together. We were kind of playing a lot of, like, sort of dark wavy adjacent sort of stuff, like these like that kind of thing. Because I guess we were all, I mean, Chris has his band Body Wash, but Nick and Zach were also both, like, in the more, like, electronic music world. So this was a bit of just something different. And then during COVID, it was just, like, yeah, a lot of time to sit at home with the guitar, and kept writing songs, and it was a bit of, like, the whole thing was happening really, like, in fits and starts. Like, we'd get together and rehearse and, like, have, like, one show or something, and then not rehearse for, like, 9 months. And a lot of the time I was a pretty, like, depressed and unmotivated for a lot of the time, and so it was hard to kind of get the whole thing going. But I knew that what I had written, like, it felt kind of special, and, like, I should follow through with it. And then I met Meg 2.5 years ago, and we started dating, and I was showing her that music, and she was really into it, which was nice to hear someone was into it. And she actually really helped me kind of finish some of those songs. I guess writing lyrics was a hard part for me, like so much more vulnerable in a certain sense compared to like writing, like coming up with a melody on the guitar or riff or something. But even like Asleep, like the end of that song, she came up with the melody and the lyrics for that last chorus. And then in other songs, it was, you know, sometimes more me with the lyrics, or more collaborative, and but just having someone to like bounce those ideas off of. And also, I guess it's nice when, I guess, I respect her taste more than anyone's probably, so it's really, really, really useful to be able to write something and come home and be like, hey, like, what do you think of this? And get that perspective and respect that perspective, and then you can, of course, you do have to have your own agency as well when it comes to it, and not define your work by what someone else thinks. But yeah, so I guess many of these songs were sort of bubbling up over the past 5 years. There were other songs that were written and recorded and never released, or that I wasn't fully happy with. We had like a session recording live off the floor like 2.5 years ago, 3 years ago, that I was kind of really inspired by like how Slint recorded and stuff. And I was like, okay, we're gonna do it like Slint and just do it live off the floor. But it didn't really work out because we weren't quite tight enough at the time. Like now I think we're actually really tight, but
I'd agree, yeah.
Back then it didn't really work out. So there were all these kind of like attempts that didn't quite work out. And then I guess last summer, I'm 30 years old and I was 29 then, and I was like, I kind of need to like get something going. Like, what am I doing with my life so much? And I kind of gave myself an ultimatum of like, I need to like really finish this project and actually get it going. Cause I don't know, like, yeah, it was just files on a computer that I would show my friends, and people would be like, oh wow, this is amazing or whatever. But also it's your friends, so I mean, I trust my friends, but they're also still your friends. And so yeah, like summer 2024, I got really serious about finishing everything up, and I got in touch with my friend Francis Latrey, who he like produces music and DJs under the name Priori, and he was down to mix the record. So I'd worked with him before on this like techno project in like 2019. He mixed this Perishing Thirst album for me, and we had a really good experience. Like, just like go to his studio and sit with him while he does the whole thing. And I guess honestly, having the deadline of like, this is when it's gonna be mixed, it was like, okay, we need to like record everything. We have to have everything like fully done. All the lyrics have to be figured out. Cause before, and I still do this to a certain extent, I'll write a song and I have the melody and stuff, but I'll just kind of like fake the words. Even like live, like at the last show, like there's one of the new songs, like I didn't have words yet. So I kind of like just was like singing sounds that sound like words softly. So it was like, okay, we need to actually like get this all down. And that was really helpful, and it was also like really great to hear it coming together and sounding more professional with getting it mixed and stuff. And then after it came out, the response was like really nice, I guess, more than I anticipated. Like, people were really into it, which is great, and definitely put some wind under my sails to put some more stuff out.
see a storm awaiting, quietly anticipating. Don't deny it, no debating. A lie for a lie, a truth for a truth. Cruel, but everybody does it. Thought by now I'd rise above it. You complain, but don't discuss it. A lie for a
This is CILU 102.7 FM, LURadio.ca, CFRC 101.9 FM, CFRC.ca, and CJLO 1690 AM, CJLO.com. I'm Ari. The show is past tense, and the last song that played was Lie for a Lie from the band Built to Spill off of their album Ultimate Alternative Waivers. And before that was part of an interview that I did with Marcus Stahl of the local slowcore band Golden Star. And lucky for me, Marcus mentioned a whole bunch of music that influenced Golden Star, and I get to play it now. And I happen to love Built to Spill, and I also happen to love a lot of the bands that he mentioned, so lucky for me. Anyway, I'll play the remainder of that interview within the next half hour, and that'll complete that. If you want to hear the full thing, you can check it out on the CJLO website. It should be up there soon, if not by the time that this airs. And before I cut into that, will be one more song. So this is going to be Crumbs Like Saucers, from the band Helvetia, off of their album Drama Mania.